Hello, welcome to Flour, Butter, Eggs, Sugar. My name's Kate and I am the host of this podcast. And today we are starting our Spices Nice Month. And I'm going to be kicking off the month by talking about pink peppercorn shortbread and why you should make it and the kind of learning process that I went through in developing it. And very excitingly, I've also got coming up an interview with my partner to find out what she really thinks of my baking. So let's start the episode. So I just wanted to briefly talk about why I wanted to look at pink peppercorns in Spices Nice Month and to use them in a recipe. So I saw these in a Madeleine recipe in Benjamina Abuelhi's book, which, as I've mentioned many times, is great. And when I Googled their uses in baking, they have a kind of gentle heat and they also have a very complex aromatic flavour that I really wanted to be able to taste in the final recipe. They have a lot of berry-like flavours, which I guess isn't that surprising because they are a berry, but they're sort of sweet. There's a bit of sourness or tartness. There's a slight heat at the back of your mouth. But they're sort of very, very interesting, lovely flavour. So like I said, they are a berry. They're a berry of the Peruvian pepper tree. And in French, they're called baie rose, which just means pink berry, which I thought was a nice name for them. And although they're from the Peruvian pepper tree, they actually aren't related to black peppercorns or things that we would normally think of as peppercorns. They're called pink peppercorns because they are small and round and sort of resemble peppercorns a bit. And also because they have some peppery notes and a sort of gentle heat. But they, like I say, they're not related to more common peppercorns. They're a lot more gentle. And also, although they are small and round, they're very, very easy to crush. So that I think that makes them slightly different from a black peppercorn, which personally I would have to be really going for it in the pestle and mortar to grind them down properly. So you can just eat them, right? You wouldn't probably eat a black peppercorn straight out of the jar, but you can. They're much more palatable to just eat on their own, and try it, yeah, because it's worth seeing what they taste like on their own. And that means as well that I could use them only sort of mildly crushed up to decorate the top of the shortbread because they actually aren't too overwhelming, even when they're in bigger pieces. So onto the method. So the pink peppercorn shortbread is very, very simple. So I'm going to run you through how to make it. But if you've listened to the shortbread episode, if you've made shortbread before, you'll be very familiar with the method already. So for the ingredients, you'll need 2 teaspoons of pink peppercorns. You may want a little bit of extra for the decoration as well. You want 150 grams of plain or all-purpose flour, or you could use white spelt flour if you're that way inclined. You need 100 grams of butter, and you can either use salted or use unsalted and a pinch of salt. You need 50 grams of caster sugar or superfine sugar. I think granulated would work as well, to be honest. I think whatever you've got is fine. You want 1 egg yolk, and I used a UK large egg, but it doesn't matter too much. It's just a little bit of extra richness on top of the butter. And a scant teaspoon of water, if needed. And that's everything in terms of the shortbread, making the shortbread, but then you want maybe 50 grams of chocolate, maybe even a little bit less actually, for the topping. And I used ruby chocolate for reasons that I will explain in a bit. So to start with, you will want to preheat the oven, and I like to bake shortbread at 190 degrees C, 170 degrees fan, or 375 Fahrenheit, which is around about gas 5, by the way. And then you'll start by preparing your ingredients and everything. And also you want to prepare a pan to bake in. For this, I actually used an 8-inch sort of cake tin. But you just want something quite small so that your pastry is maybe about a centimetre thick or so. You could also roll this out and cut it into shapes, but I quite like having shortbread that's just baked in one block. I enjoy it and it tastes the same, so I like to keep it simple. And you'll want to kind of prepare your pan. If you're baking it in a whole block, you'll want to butter that pan and line it with parchment paper. Or if you're baking it in shapes, then you just want to line the baking tray. So you grind those 2 teaspoons of pink peppercorns. I used a pestle and mortar. You rub in your butter and flour together, either using your fingertips or you could use a food processor. And as usual, when I'm rubbing in, I really enjoyed using my pastry cutter here. So that's what I used. Then you stir in your sugar. Then you add your egg yolk. And then you add the water if the dough looks kind of dry still. And I quite like to just bring it together so that it's with a bit of water so that it's easier to press out into the pan. But you actually could just kind of sprinkle it into the pan and crack on, maybe pressing it down a bit in the pan with the back of a spoon or something like that. The water's sort of optional, but I just find that it makes it easier to spread into the tin. Then I like to chill it really well, and that just makes the shortbread extra crisp because you are going to have less butter leakage in the end, because what you really want is a fairly hot oven, and then you've got the very cold shortbread, and it just makes it extra short with the sort of water from the butter evaporating quite quickly. So that's the sort of key really to short pastry and to a crumbly shortbread, which is, let's face it, it basically is a pastry, isn't it? And then once it's chilled really nicely, you just bake it for about 15 minutes. When it comes out of the pan, I will then score it with a sharp small knife into the kind of shapes that I want. So I just cut this into, I think, 6, but maybe cutting it into 8 would be good as well, whichever you prefer. And then you will need to leave it to cool down totally. Once you've done that, you can then melt your chocolate and just drizzle it over the top, and that is it. And to melt the chocolate, you'll obviously want to use either a bain-marie, which is a bowl over simmering water, or you might want to just use the microwave, and that's what I did. But you just need to be careful because chocolate does burn. So just do it really gently. And I would stop when there are still a few lumps in it, because the heat from the rest of the chocolate will actually melt those final few lumps. So I always stop just when there's still a few lumps left, and then I stir it really well, and they will melt in. And that is literally it. You might want to decorate with a few extra crushed pink peppercorns. That's what I did. And like I said, I used ruby chocolate here, but you could absolutely use a different type of chocolate. So let me talk to you about what this shortbread was like and why I really liked it. As I said, it's very crumbly, it's rich, and I think the kind of egg yolk adds an extra dimension to it, because my normal shortbread doesn't include egg yolk at all. It's very nutty, and if you want to use white spelt flour, it is a bit more expensive, but it does have a very gentle kind of nuttiness about it, which I really, really like. It's buttery, and I thought the spicing was about right, so I kind of had a look at what other people did in terms of spicing and sort of went roughly with that, and it kind of worked out quite well. I think a downside is that it's a bit hard to get hold of ruby chocolate, and I think that it does actually add something to this, because the pink peppercorns are kind of sweet, They're a bit hot and they've kind of got a tartness to them as well. They're actually a berry. So the kind of berry notes in ruby chocolate really kind of complement that really nicely. And berry chocolate itself has a slight tartness to it, as well as being quite sweet. So I think it is kind of worth it if you can get hold of it. But if you can't, then I know that it's probably the closest to white chocolate, ruby chocolate. So I think that would be my second option. And if not, then milk. And in one of my run-throughs, I did try this with milk chocolate. It was very, very nice. But my partner and I both thought that it was just slightly better with the ruby chocolate. So that's what I'm kind of recommending. And that is literally it. So it's very simple, very easy, and it's just something that's slightly unusual and something that's very, very delicious. And I think if you make this for somebody as a present, they would be very pleased, and it would be something, you know, that they can actually experience something a bit new potentially. It's not just your kind of standard bake, and I think that's a nice thing too. Hi love, this is my partner Gemma, who is appearing on the podcast for me to interview about what it is like to live with somebody who bakes all the time. But I wanted to start with asking you actually what you thought about this week's bake, which is the pink peppercorn shortbread.
Hi, I really liked the pink peppercorn shortbread. Kate made it a few times, as usual. And I think I suggested that it needed something else. It was really nice when it had this kind of like, almost like spicy berry flavour of the pink peppercorns. But it was really a lot better when you put the ruby chocolate on it. And because the ruby chocolate has that kind of berry flavour, it had a really like kind of sweet, spicy, warm flavour.
Yeah, I really agree. I think the kind of sharpness of the ruby chocolate works really, really well with it. So my second question is, how annoying am I to live with? Because I'm constantly covered in flour. The kitchen's constantly covered in flour. There's basically a huge pile of washing up most of the time. And how irritating is it? Maybe on a scale of 1 to 10.
I mean, you have other annoying habits that don't come with the benefit of having baked goods at the end. So I think that's a trade-off that I'm willing to go with sometimes. I mean, it's amusing. You quite often come into the living room and I'm like, do you realise you have flour on your skirt or in your hair or chocolate on your face? Your own cake washing up. If it's things you've made for baking, you tend to wash them up yourself, which is good. I think the thing that's more annoying about your baking is when you under-anticipate what you're doing, particularly when you're making a birthday cake for somebody and we've got to get to their party and it takes 2 hours longer than you thought it would. Or you make yourself a 12-layer birthday cake with a cookie at the bottom that you then have to carry down the street because it won't fit in any tins.
This is all things that have really happened. I think I've got slightly better at time management, but yeah, these are definitely all things that have really happened. And I do also regularly have just like bits of dough encrusted onto like different items of clothing that I'm wearing.
The other thing is that you absolutely will not let anyone else make your birthday cake. So I am banned from making a birthday cake for my own girlfriend. You have to make your own birthday cake. So you somehow manage to stress yourself out on the day where other people are meant to be doing stuff for you, making your own birthday cake, and it has to be perfect.
I don't know, there's nothing I can say really to make that better because I'm never going to change. So continuing on this theme a little bit before we end on something positive, could you tell me a little bit about something that I've baked that you were not very keen on?
No, because obviously everything you make is perfect. No, I was struggling to think of things. I think most things that you bake, you're more critical of than I am. And I'm like, it's a cake, it's got sugar in it, I'll eat it. But we were just thinking about it, and I remember you made a grapefruit and honey cake, and I think you said you put too much bicarb in it. So it ended up tasting kind of like grapefruit soap. And grapefruit is quite a like bitter taste to start off with. And then there was loads of bicarbs. It was a bit funny. I think you threw that one away, didn't you, after a couple of tastes?
Yeah, that was actually inedible. But most of the bakes that I have, I often am like, oh, this is something I want to change. This is something I want to change. But I think they're usually edible. Like, I think they're normally, and actually most of them are quite a sort of fairly nice as well. But I'm kind of always wanting to tweak things. So you're right. I am quite critical of my own baking.
I think you made some, I think the first batch of miso cookies you made were like really too sweet or something, weren't they? Or the miso was really strong.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I think that's probably right. Because I think a lot of the time when I read a recipe, it'll say like, oh, a teaspoon of vanilla, the zest of one lemon. And I'm always like, no, let's dial this up. But with some things, you can't really do that. So with miso, with rose water, there's certain things that are just really strong and you shouldn't really veer too far away from what other people tell you to do. But I do like kind of being a bit of a rebel, and I really like things that are quite strongly flavoured and that where you can really taste what it's meant to be like, what it's meant to taste like. I mean, I think it's pretty well documented in this podcast by now that I just absolutely love cardamom, and I just don't understand why people don't use more of it, like in everything, and use more of it in terms of quantity as well. But there are some flavors where you sort of need to dial it back, so that's something that I've been kind of enjoying in while I'm preparing for like florals month next month, is playing around with flavors that are a bit more not something I'm used to, things that are a bit more unusual, things that are, yeah, that could veer into smelling like granny's knicker drawer if you're not too careful. So hopefully there'll be some nice bakes coming up as well. Okay, so final question, and we're going to end on a positive. What are some of your favourite bakes that I've made?
I absolutely love your Nutella buttercream. I think you can't go wrong with Nutella buttercreams. Every time you make chocolate cupcakes or chocolate cake with Nutella buttercream on, it's amazing. And I think one of my favourite ones recently was Kate made me an amazing birthday cake that was a pistachio meringue with raspberries and what was the cream in it?
I think it was white chocolate and mascarpone, something like that.
Yeah. That white chocolate and mascarpone cream with pistachio meringue was amazing, and it was so light, but also like light but kind of chewy because it was meringue and nutty, and it was great. I like you used to make banoffee pies, and you don't really make them as much anymore. I really like your banoffee pies, but I think you probably could make them even better now because I think you've got much better at pastry.
Yeah, those are not really a proper pastry. Those are like, The way I've made them in the past is you crushed up biscuit and butter. But would you want me to make one with a proper pastry base?
I mean, yeah. you can make a really good pastry base with like banana and caramel and cream and chocolate on it or whatever.
I definitely want to try making more pies, because I, for a long time, mostly made cake. And I've just been getting really, really into pastry recently, like into savoury and sweet, like making amazing delicious pies for our dinners. I just think there's like nothing more satisfying than making a pie. It just makes me so happy. So I'm hopefully there'll be more of those in store, both savoury and sweet. And I have to correct myself, actually. I think it was just a vanilla cream. A vanilla whipped, like slightly sweetened whipped cream that was with the pistachio meringue and raspberry. I think I got that a bit wrong, but yeah, it was really good. Have you got any others?
What favourite bakes? I mean, your salted caramel brownies are always really, really, really good, and quite often liquid in the middle. So you have to eat them with a spoon. The ice creams you make are really good. But yeah, I mean, like lots of, even if some of them aren't my favorite, like lots of things you make are really, really good. Thank
Oh,
you.
thanks, honey. Thank you so much for appearing on my pod.
That's okay. Usually you just lock yourself in the kitchen on Saturday morning while I'm still in bed. And by the time I get up, you've done it. Or sometimes I can't get in the kitchen to get a cup of tea because you're in there doing it.
Oh, thank you for being so tolerant and trying all my bakes. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
So I really hope you enjoyed that interview and this episode. I'm going to be experimenting a little bit with things like editing, having guests, format. So feedback is very, very welcome on what you thought worked well, things that you would like to see. And also you can find the recipes available on the website. So the website is flourbuttereggssugar.com. To get in touch with me, you can either use the website and go to contact, or you can just email me. It's flourbuttereggssugar@gmail.com. And do, if you are on Facebook, join our Facebook listeners group. The links are on the website. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, blah, 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 blah. And it's been lovely talking to you today, and can't wait for the next one. Just finally, we've got coming up, next is going to be our caraway seed cake. So something that is actually really traditional, as I've said before, in British baking, but that's kind of gone out of fashion. And I'm going to be trying to find out whether it deserved to go out of fashion or whether it's actually worth baking. So that's going to be coming up. And then after that, we're also looking at turmeric and sumac in our Spices Nice Month, which is focusing on sort of unusual spices that you, well, at least define in baking. So that is it, as I said. Thank you very much to my sister Ruth, as always, for our jingle. Hope everything is well where you are and that you are keeping well. Take care and happy baking. Bye.